Welcome back to Cactus Juice. It's been a while. I'm happy to be back. I had some stuff going on, had to handle that, so happy it's over. But we're back. Today I am alone, so it's just kind of gonna be me talking. Today's topic was just something I didn't really want to force anybody to talk about if they didn't want to talk about. Today's podcast is going to be about death. While I don't think what we're going to be talking about is very harsh or deep like that, it's just something I didn't want to have to force anybody to be Googling leading up to the podcast and doing research on it. So it's just going to be me and you talking about what I have kind of written down and going over it. Today's podcast is titled Death. Death is such a weird topic. Usually when people talk about death, it's, a loved one passing away or something on the news of someone's death. Today, that is not what we're talking about. Today, we are talking about death in animes and comics and media like that, and how a death like that is so impactful to us. And I'm going to try and narrow it down to like what I think the reason is. Obviously, it's open for interpretation. You can feel completely different than how I feel, but at least to me, how it impacts me and how I feel from it, why I think this kind of is. And it's just really weird to even be talking about it, because for us to even think that someone dying in an anime or a comic book can bring us to the type of emotions of a loved one passing or something like that, like to tears in certain terms. Like, I've seen plenty TikToks of a dude watching like Naruto with his girlfriend for the first time, and she gets to a point that's very emotional and she's busting out crying. Or somebody even getting to Endgame and seeing Cap pick up Mjolnir and them crying. It's just that media can make us feel these types of emotions. And it's just such a crazy thought to me that something can be so compelling and we know it is fake. But that doesn't necessarily mean too much. Like, whether it being fake or not doesn't mean it can't provoke emotion. And I just have been recently thinking about it, and I was like, that would be an awesome topic for one of the podcasts. But in anime, it's a huge tendency for a villain or a hero to die, and for them to die in an emotional way that invokes tears or just like sadness, depression. Like, you can literally feel your heart drop when this character dies, for them to just turn around and not die. And that's kind of also what this is about too, is how we can kill people in this type of media and it means absolutely nothing technically, but we still feel these emotions. And I think that's the more compelling part, is we sit here with this knowledge that nothing is final in this source of media, but when it comes around to our character who we have built a bond with and we have loved and seen grow, it still affects us. And we have to think completely different than the real world. That's the weird thing about it too, is the real world, somebody you grew up, you love with, you spent years with, they pass, it's final. We hurt, we grieve, we go through all these pains knowing that it is final. This person's not coming back. In media, anime, comics, whatever it is, we know it's purely based off what the writer, the director wants to happen. And we still feel the same level of emotion, in a sense, to somebody we know passing. And it's just a crazy thought to me that somebody sitting behind a desk writing can make me feel that same type of way to somebody who I've seen in 100 episodes, comparable to somebody who I've lived with for 20 years or something like that. Like, I can feel that same level of emotion, and it's fake, and it's not really there. And I just find that crazy slash incredible that somebody can do that, that somebody can understand those emotions enough to put it on paper or in media, in video, and invoke that same emotion. Don't get me wrong, I didn't go to school for like movies or writing or anything like that. This is purely just a random dude sitting at his desk who watches some anime and a lot of cartoons and just started thinking to himself just coming to these conclusions all on my own. I have no idea whether there's theories on how to do these things or steps on how to do these things, if there's like research behind it. This is purely me thinking about it, sitting down and wanting to talk about it. And completely feel free, if you're listening, to respond and educate me on these things. I would love that, because I'm sitting here just like, this is crazy. And I love it. I just love how crazy it is. It's just so weird, because in anime and things, you can have villains die in so many ways. You can have them go on a mission and they never come back. You can have them go to a different dimension and they never come back. You can have them just straight up die, get impaled by a sword and die. You can have them die of old age or something like that. There's so many options to happen inside of an anime or a comic book that is just crazy to me. While for the average person, the odds of somebody who you know dying is old age, hopefully, an illness, which sucks, but I would still say is on the better route, or murder or something like that. You know, like it's those big three. So it sucks. We have those three options, but in anime and all these other things, because of freedom, I guess you would call it, there's so many other options for these people to die. And each one can be completely different from the other, but still tie back to those main three that we feel. And it's very weird, but there's just so many things that can happen. It makes me think about, what does death mean in an anime or a comic or anything of that media? Because in our world, death is final. Death is no longer here. They're not on earth with us anymore. Whether you are a Christian or you're not, or you have different beliefs or this or that, at the end of the day, they are no longer here with us. And that is death. So whether they are in heaven, if you believe, or they are in hell, or they are in nothingness, a void of nothingness, they are no longer here with us. And that's death to us. But in animes and comics, death isn't final. And not just in terms of a writer just wanting to bring a character back, so they bring them back somehow. But in the terms of, a lot of it deals with mythology as well. So like Thor, technically, if Thor dies, he should either go to Valhalla or hell. But based off mythology, we also know that those things, you can be like retrieved from those places or escape those places. Again, correct me if I'm wrong on any of the stuff, but from my very little knowledge, that's at least how I feel about it, that you can be pulled from these other places. And in a lot of superhero stuff, there's multiverses, multi-dimensions, anything. So you can be somebody, in our terms, it's you not being here with us anymore is death. So you could be pulled to a different dimension. And that falls into our terms of death. But then they could just come back, technically. They could just come back from that dimension and they are alive again. Or a different version of them can come from that dimension and fill that void. Even if they're not exactly the same, they can come back and fill that void. In our world, that is impossible. You can't have a replica come and fill that void for you. And it's just so different in a way. So their definition, it just doesn't fall into what we perceive as death. It's just them leaving this plane of existence with the possibility of coming back. It's just mind-boggling to me, because like I was just saying, in our definition of death, it's no longer with us. And correlating straight to the dimensional thing, they are no longer with us, but they could have complete knowledge that that person left. And it still fits with our definition of death, or my definition of death, but they could just come back. It's like going to, you live in California and them going to Florida. Yeah, they left your area, but you know they're alive still. It's just, there's so many other possibilities of death in media. And it's just, how does it get me to feel these emotions just like everything else? It's just very weird and mind-boggling to me. But I enjoy every single minute of it. And it's just something I can't wrap my head around. And to be honest, I was planning this podcast for like a month. And like I said at the beginning, like obviously I was going through some stuff, whatever. But I've been playing this podcast for a very long time and I hadn't gotten around to recording or really getting it down because I don't understand it. I didn't know what to put on paper or notes to take to try and stay on task and stuff like that. I didn't understand where I wanted to come from, what I wanted to say. And at this point, I still don't 100% know exactly what I want to say, but I knew I had to say something, like start talking, get it out and see where it leads me to. In terms of where it leads me to, we will find out. I did, though, take some notes, at least things I wanted to touch on. One that kind of stood out to me when I was taking the notes is how death is not just final in animes and stuff like that, but how it's beaten. And, like, you can have immortality in animes, which doesn't necessarily mean that you never die. It could definitely mean you do die, but you just always come back. I forget who his name is, but he's in Naruto and he's part of the Akatsuki and he does like the whole ritual and stuff. I can't remember his name right now. He just always came back. He can't die in a sense, but he always came back. Technically, that is beating death, but there are still scenes where I was like, oh my God, he died. Oh man, that's crazy. And then he wasn't dead. And it still made me feel something. And that's what I think I'm really talking about is how something that is fake makes me feel something, and how something that someone else came up with is still making me feel emotions. And I guess this really does span across all media, but this is just where it really stood out to me was in the death in animes and comics. But like some examples that I think I can think of is something that was super impactful, which from this part forward, I guess I'll say spoilers for Naruto, Batman, Superman, WandaVision, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So if you haven't seen those things, just wait, I guess. Don't listen. But for the first one, I want to talk about the retrieval of Sasuke in Naruto. It's a part in the series where Sasuke decides to leave the village for seeking more power. And Naruto and a small team of young shinobis go to try and stop him and save him. When I tell you that that invoked emotion in me, that's an understatement, man. That stuff brought me close to tears and then pouring over with tears. Choji and his fight, like, oh, he gave his all. He knew he was gonna die on that battlefield, but he also knew that he wasn't gonna die until he stopped his opponent. And just to, if you are still listening and you haven't really seen it, basically it's a group of them who go to save Sasuke and they have to break off one by one because Sasuke also has like bodyguards in a sense helping escort him to where he wants to get. So they break off and have to fight. And mind you, these are kids fighting. I would say, I don't think they ever confirm it, but they're either teenagers or adults. They're one of those things. I'd lean more towards adults. So these kids are fighting these adults and giving it their all. And they have to break off one by one just to make sure that the rest of the team can keep on moving forward to get to the destination of saving Sasuke, because that is their ultimate goal. So no matter if five of them die to save one, it was worth it. It was with no question that they did this. And if you haven't watched Naruto, but you're still listening, Sasuke is a douche. Like, he wasn't somebody who was easy to be a friend to. He wasn't somebody who wanted friends. He wasn't somebody who wanted to talk to you. He wasn't anything. Like, he was, I would say, a self-proclaimed outcast in a sense. As you keep on watching this show, he made himself an outcast. Yes, his story is sad. He still made himself an outcast. While on the flip side, Naruto was just trying to get noticed, and he was an outcast. But anyways, they're out here trying to save Sasuke, and all of them are going through their battles and fighting their hearts out. And all of them, we are seeing die. And at the end of it, which adds insult to injury, Sasuke doesn't want to be saved. Sasuke still leaves after Naruto catches up to him and they fight. He still leaves because he wants this. And these kids risk their life to save someone who never wanted to be saved. It was super emotional, like so emotional. The artist who drew the scenes and everything like that, like props to you because the way they're drawn, especially like I know I already talked about Choji's fight, but Choji with those butterfly wings and how emotional it was, that was beautiful. Like, shout out to artists, shout out to like everybody who was involved in that, because oh my God, That was amazing. But back to the main subject, none of them died. All of them lived at the end of it, which I'm happy they did, because later on in the series they are fantastic in it. They make the story. I can't see the future of Naruto without them in it, but it's just something that still like sits with me, that I'm like, dude, you really did that to me. You made me feel all of this, and just to be like, no, we're good. They're still alive. And I think that's probably the point where I started thinking about this, making this podcast or this episode, because I was like, yo, that's messed up. Because I feel all types of ways, and you're just gonna tell me they're all alive, that it was all for nothing. Sasuke made it even worse because he didn't want to be saved. It was nothing. It was purely nothing. But I kept on watching. Me complaining means nothing because I kept on watching. I'm on Naruto Shippuden now, and I'm almost done with it. Granted, I'm a 24-year-old who just started watching Naruto when he was 24 years old. I didn't experience it as a kid. I'm experiencing it as an adult with the knowledge of an adult. It's just something that sits with me, something that bothers me. But it didn't stop me. Another example, though, is Batman and Red Hood. It's something that is a little bit different because we didn't want this character. So Red Hood is Jason Todd. He is the second Robin to Batman. The first one is Dick Grayson. Dick Grayson, who becomes Nightwing. So then Batman found another kid, like he does, and adopts him, and it is Jason Todd. And we hated him as fans. We couldn't stand him, and we hated him so much we wanted him to die. When we were given the option to kill him or let him live, we killed him. We wanted him dead. And that's impactful in a slightly different way. Obviously, it wasn't that it brought our emotions out of his death, it's that our emotions were so out already, it led to his death. And then they brought him back. Somebody who we probably would have never guessed to come back because we hated them so much, they brought back as Red Hood, as an anti-hero. And we loved him. We really liked him. That shouldn't have worked. It shouldn't have led to us liking him because we didn't like him so much. And I would say this is in a good way of this happening, where we wanted somebody dead, they brought him back and made him better. Fantastic. Love that. But it's still weird how that happens. How in this instance, we wanted somebody to die, and they're like, okay, we get it. We're going to bring him back, but make him better, and you guys will love him. And we did. So in that instance, like, clap hands. That's great. Awesome job. Good job. But still weird how it can work both ways when you have a good writer and a good team and stuff like that. It's just, again, it's weird. Going into the next example, it's Superman and Doomsday. Which this one is even, I think, at a bigger extreme, because as far as I'm aware, this is the first time of a death and bring back type thing. And this is kind of what sparked everything else doing this as well. But it's when Superman fights Doomsday, they get in a huge fight, and Doomsday kills Superman. Just off that, it was so impactful, because Superman was the symbol of hope. He was somebody who never died. He never lost. He always found a way to win. And he's like super strong. Like, his only weakness is kryptonite. What else could kill him? And then here comes Doomsday, an absolute monster, and does the unthinkable. He kills a man who kills monsters. He kills, or not kills, let me fix that, who defeats the monsters, the things we're scared of, the things like that. He was our hope. And this guy comes and destroys him. That was something new. I don't think anybody who was reading back then was really expecting that, even though, you know, it's called the death of Superman and stuff like that. Like, I don't think anybody was like, oh yeah, he's gonna die. Like, even when we get media like that that says, oh, the death of this person, that, it like ends up not happening at the end. Like, something else happens or something like that. And or like, it's symbolic, like the death of Superman, because now his name is something else. Like, they always do something like that. And it was the first time we're like, no, yeah, we meant the death of Superman. It affected a lot of people. And then they bring him back. That's when everything changed. Because some people were like, yes, Superman's back. This is fantastic. Other people are like, that doesn't make sense. I don't like that. But nonetheless, however you feel on it, doesn't change what it did. It changed the course of media. That you can have a loved character, kill them, and bring them back and continue their story. It changed it. And I don't know how I feel about it still. I understand that it's a big turning point, and I am happy that I have the opportunity to feel these emotions and get my favorite characters back. But how would I have felt if they didn't come back? You know, type stuff. And it's so much thought I'm putting into this for these fake characters and stuff like that. But, you know, you grow these bonds with them, and they don't even know you. But you grow them, and you would feel attached to them. And I think that's what's, again, just so crazy. On to my next example. It's my second to last example. It's WandaVision, the TV show. It was something that I don't think I was ready for when I was watching it. Like, it just blew me away so much because I wasn't ready for something this in depth. But like you sit here and you watch Infinity War, and you see Vision's skull get crushed because Thanos takes the stone from him, and you're just like, what the heck? To then be followed up with Endgame, where we don't see Vision again. We're sitting here like, damn, he's gone. Vision's dead. He's just whatever. Like, it's nothing no more. He's gone. To then hear this announcement that they're coming out with WandaVision, and it's going to be a show that has Vision in it again. Also, same thing with Loki, because in Endgame, we see his neck get snapped and he's dead, and we're like, oh my god, he's gone. And then they announce the Loki show, and they're like, wait a minute, how does that work? Which, awesome to them, because it let us as fans theorize and stuff like that, which I also will say kind of ruined WandaVision for a lot of people, because we over-theorize, and I think it's completely our fault for doing that. Back on track. We don't get Vision back in those two movies, and it kind of solidifies he's dead. And then WandaVision comes, and we're introduced to Vision again. And then just as quickly as we're introduced to him, we are also led on to believe that this isn't Vision. This is something else. And by the end, you find out that no, it isn't Vision. This is something that Wanda has created to fill a void in herself. And in the show, when you even see the real Vision come back, it's not him. It's something else. Even though it's the body, it's not our Vision. It is something else. So I think WandaVision does something very different and spectacular in their show, in the sense of this whole topic I'm talking about the death and it coming back, is even though they're sitting here and showing us the character who we lost in two different versions, technically he has not come back for us. He is gone. And I think this is the outlier example because of, yes, you brought him back, but you also didn't at any point. You let him die, even though he keeps on popping back up. It's weird. It's also cool. I think this is one of the cooler examples because of this, is that it fits everything I'm talking about reversed. And honestly, I just really like the show. It was such a good show. So I wanted to talk about it somehow. My last example, which it's weird because what I'm talking about, WandaVision, is similar to this one, but in a different way. And I feel different about it. So Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. We're introduced to the perfect Spider-Man, in a sense, in this Peter Parker. Then he's killed, and we know he's killed because we kind of see it, even though they cut away for it. And for the people who don't know who Miles Morales is, for the people who are just watching this movie for the fun of it, that it was just a cool movie that came out, they don't know that he is there to replace, in a sense, Spider-Man. He is going to take up the mantle of Spider-Man. So to the regular audience, he is the replacement for that death, which we talked about earlier, that a character can be replaced, like from a different dimension type stuff. So he is the replacement. But then we're introduced to, I don't know, there's five other Spider-Man. And there's one who's there who is specifically supposed to replace like our Spider-Man that has died. But he doesn't. He's more of a failure. And even though he's a good Spider-Man, he has given up on the mantle of Spider-Man. But when you put all five or however many it is, I think it's five, together to teach Miles how to be Spider-Man, that's when you kind of get all of them together to equal that one perfect Peter Parker Spider-Man. So in this essence, in contrast to WandaVision, is we got two other visions who couldn't equal to the vision we wanted. But in this Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, we're getting five Spider-Men that together equal our one Spider-Man and replace him in a decent way. And even though we don't get much screen time of our original Spider-Man, you still feel impactful when he dies because of what just the whole universe has established for us of Spider-Man. We know he's so pure-hearted and stuff like that. So it's still impactful type stuff, which is just crazy how they did that and how these two things are very similar, but complete opposites in my mind, but both still back up what I'm talking about. It's weird. And I think it just also goes to show good writing and thought and people thinking of what they want to create and executing it very well. But also talking about all this, like, I've mainly been talking about heroes dying and heroes coming back to life and things like that. I think something we forget about and something that I feel is just as impactful is villains. Villains dying, I would say, hurts slightly more because it pulls more at our heartstrings in a sense. So I think what makes a good villain is something that is relatable. And I think that's why it's so hard to keep villains dead, because it's so hard to write a villain, somebody who is the bad guy, who is relatable to us, an average Joe, if you say. It's hard to write something that's going to invoke villainy, but also make us understand them in a way. That's why I think it tugs a little more at our heartstrings, in a sense. When you think of your favorite villains, they're your favorite villain because you can sympathize with them in a sense. It's that whole thought process of we all could have been there at a time. We all could have gone down that bad road, but we were able to overcome it. We've all been bullied. I can't say everybody, but have been abused or anything like that. We've all gone through hardships in our life, whether it's dealing with even death in our family and stuff like that. No matter what it is, we've all gone through hardships. And a good villain has gone through those hardships as well, but wasn't able to overcome them like we were. And some of us haven't overcome them, you know? Some of us are still going through those hardships and trying to figure them out and figure out our life and do things like that. And you could probably say some of us are on the verge of becoming the villain. Please don't. That's what I think makes such a good villain and why it's so hard to kill them off, because you would have to come up with a whole new character who fits all these molds. And it's not an easy task, at least in my opinion. I don't think it's an easy task because there's a lot of villains that are created that I just don't resonate with, that if you killed them, I don't care. But it's the good ones, the ones that make me feel something. It's because I understand them. I can relate to them and stuff like that. It's just weird to me. The weirder thing is too, is like for a hero, for me to feel some type of sympathy for a hero's death, it takes a long time for me to build that sympathy. Because again, in my opinion, most heroes are, in quotations, perfect. Like, they are the hero. They are who we look up to. They do no wrong. So it's hard for me to be like, dang, they died. Like, that sucks. Or whatever. Like, I understand on a surface level that it's bad that they died and stuff like that. And it can invoke emotion. It 100% can. Obviously, I've been talking about it for this whole podcast that it invokes emotion, but it takes episodes or issues, multiple, for me to get to that point where I feel bad. But for a villain, it takes like one episode, one issue for me to 100% relate with them, for me to 100% understand where they're coming from, for me to 100% back their cause, even though I don't back them. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like this is common to most people. Like, most people feel the same way when it comes to villains. Villains are easier to relate to than it is for superheroes. And that's because all of us have, I don't want to say it, like a little darkness in us, but we have, you know, that negativity in us, that thing that wants to push us towards doing bad. It's an everyday process for us to overcome it and to keep on moving forward and stuff like that. So I feel like that's why it's so easy for us to relate to the villain, because we all are the villain in our own life and in somebody else's life. You know, like, you can't always be the best person. So, you know, it's just, it's weird. It takes so long for me to relate to a hero, even though I do at sometimes, but it takes the most little amount of time for me to understand a villain and relate to them and care about their death and stuff. It just baffles me that we can put ourselves in the shoes of a fake person, but when it comes to like seeing that person on the street next to us, or the person in front of us in line, or that father or mother walking with their child, or this or that, or somebody just in our life, we don't put ourselves in their shoes ever. It's always just our own. We always are just, it's about me right now. I'm in my shoes and I'm living my story. I'm my hero. But we never stop to wonder what they're going through. Or are they about to become a villain? Like, what are they going through right now? How can I help them? Because a true hero would help who needs help. But we look at ourselves as heroes who are doing everything right already. And I just don't think we are. Like I said at the beginning of my podcast, you know, I haven't been posting in a while because I've been going through a lot of stuff. And honestly, something that really changed my point of view and has been helping me is just a quote I heard that, you know, life is not transactional, which basically just means nobody owes you anything and you owe nobody anything. It's just, you should be doing things out of just the kindness of your heart. Like, you know, like, you should just go out and do something because you want to, not because you owe somebody something or you're obligated to do this type of thing. And it just, I think that really ties back to being a hero in a sense. I think that's how we can become the hero of our own story and how we can, it's weird to say it, but how we can make people feel impact from our death down the line is by making sure that we are the true embodiment of the hero we want to be. But please, nobody come back from the dead. That's scary. And I don't want to have to deal with any zombies. Thank you for listening. This has been another podcast with me, Cactus Juice. If you made it to the end, thank you. Please reach out. Talk to me if you have anything you want to talk about in this podcast. I'm all ears. I'd love to talk to you guys. Again, if you want to educate me on anything, educate me. I don't know much, but I just wanted to sit down and talk about all this stuff and get it out there, you know? I feel like at the end I got a little preachy. Wasn't necessarily my intention. I said I was going to let the podcast take me where it takes me, but thanks for listening.